Hello and welcome to the Disney Magic Hour episode number 49 as we give you our future of Future World. To my left, as always, is Melissa. Say hello, Melissa.
Hello, Melissa.
Across the valley of Skype is Brian. Say hello, Brian.
Hello, Brian.
And across the other valley of Skype is Ryan. Say hello, Ryan.
Hello, Ryan.
Hello, Pete. And say hello, Bogo. That was Upular. You can find that video and more over at youtube.com/pogo, his music at soundcloud.com/pogomix, and his website is pogomix.net. We are lastgenpodcast.com. Find us on Twitter at DizMagicHourPod. That's D-I-S Magic Hour Pod. On Facebook, if you search for Disney Magic Hour, you can find our little group. And if you head on over to iTunes and give a 5-star review, we will read that review on the air, as we will later at the end of the episode. Specifically, Mel will read it. Head on over to Google Play Music, into the podcast area you shall go, search for Disney Magic Hour. And Melissa, where can people find us on Instagram?
At Disney Magic Hour Podcast.
And you can also find all of our previous episodes for download, stream on all your platforms over at soundcloud.com/Disney Magic Hour Podcast. Everybody, welcome to the future.
Yay.
Yes. Future, yes. Is exciting.
It looks bright.
It is bright. It is full of magic, evidently.
Yes.
So Ryan Wilson, how are you, man? How was your weekend of the 4th of July?
It was good. We tried to keep it quiet up here, stuck to the house, took care of some projects we didn't want to take care of. So, but yeah, just lived amongst the festivities from everywhere else on social media.
Nice. Brian, how was yours? You had a semi-quiet? Also,
yeah, it was pretty quiet, as twelve of us can be with my family. You know how that is.
Not quiet.
So yeah, not quiet. But other than that, yeah, it was pretty. It was nice. It was peaceful, actually.
Good, good. Me and Mel actually spent the weekend in the parks, and we are going to talk about that at near the conclusion of the show. But let's first get to what we want to talk about today. Now, we all have said on probably a number of occasions already that we all agree that Epcot is kind of due. You know, due for a refresh, due for some new stuff, maybe some subtractions, and then some additions. But we all feel that it's coming up soon. Ryan, do you think that we'll see that, let's say, in the next 5 years?
I think we may see plans in the next 5 years. I think, you know, where we are now with thinking about Star Wars Land, Toy Story Land, that is where I think we'd be in the next 5 years, but I don't see anything earth-shattering happening within those 5 years.
I could see some kind of announcement, maybe some sort of preliminary announcement coming at D23 next year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because Pandora would be the supposed earliest to be done by then, or close to.
If not opened, there'll be like the rumblings of when it's going to be opened.
So then right all you really have is Hollywood Studios being under construction. So yeah, they could do like a little announcement or something, like a tease for Epcot.
Depending on how much space it would take up and how much it would restrict people moving to certain areas. Now, that's the interesting thing, is that there's so much room behind existing Epcot that you could almost build a second ring around Epcot, and that would be a way to do it without interfering with anything that's current. But I also think that stuff that's currently there, some of that has to go, and no one's going to notice, because I don't really think there's a lot of foot traffic in those areas either. Brian, what's your feelings on Epcot in its current state?
Epcot needs a lot of work, I think. Not so much the World Showcase, obviously, but Future World needs almost total refresh. There's a few things that I think are fine and that can stay, but for the most part, I think it needs a total do over.
Would you say that it's almost hanging on by its food and wine strings?
Definitely. Food and wine and Flower and Garden are the two things that drive that, you know, that drive Epcot, and they've extended them, and even the Christmas season with the
holidays around the world.
The holidays around the world, and they have the candlelight processional and that sort of stuff. But that's all World Showcase focused. There's nothing in Future World, and you know, they're going to need to up that.
So then let's get right into it. Let's take a look at Future World and existing and maybe not existing that we would want to see happening, because even some buildings that are there are not utilized for the purpose that they originally were. But let's start right from the very entrance. Let's start with Spaceship Earth. I have some thoughts on Spaceship Earth. Did anyone else have this on their list for a rework a little bit? Ryan?
You know, I had this funny feeling with Spaceship Earth. I know it was communication, and now it's, you know, the history of man and all of our inventions. I've always felt like it should embody the entirety of Future World. Like, it should be the piece that kind of sends you off in all the different directions of the other pavilions. So in that respect, yeah, it's due for something. I don't know, with Siemens just have coming in and refurbished it, I don't know that we're going to see it, but that's what I've always felt it should be.
Yeah, it was last done, when was the last, 08? Was that when it was last, like, reopened with the Judi Dench narration?
08 or 09, somewhere in there, yeah.
Yeah, so that's not very long ago, but there, I think, lies, like, the inherent issue with Spaceship Earth, because that feels like it was a really long time ago. And it really, in the, you know, the overall picture of how long attractions stay open and get refurbed, it hasn't been that long. Brian, what are your impressions right now of Spaceship Earth as it sits?
As it sits, I really don't have anything. The first half, I enjoy. I like that. I do think that they could, but it's, I think this is where what Ryan was saying. Siemens came in and they did most of the changes, but I think those changes can be updated now with as you're traveling backwards. They really could change that, I think. And like Ryan said, I think it's a great idea. Push you towards the other pavilions that you're going to come across, you know. And I think that's where Spaceship Earth would need to be a touch up.
Yeah, I felt the same way. The Judi Dench redo was 2008. It feels like, it was, I can't do math. 8 years ago.
8 years
there
ago.
We go.
Oh, okay.
I got it.
I didn't know what math you were trying to do, so I couldn't help.
Scott Steiner math.
But it feels like at least 10 or more years. It's like terrible. So I would be up for a new narration. I also would be up for that new, you know, build your future thing, because every time we do it, we try and do other stuff. I feel like it's the same things most of the time. And I don't know, the technology that, like, they're supposed to be, you know, introducing us to, that's supposed to be this new cutting edge stuff, I don't feel like it's anything that's, I feel like I'm watching the Jetsons, and I'm like,
yeah, that's kind of where my thinking goes. Now, this is going to tie into something that we talk about later, but I think that there's a difference between the future and the future.
Yeah.
And the future is something that, if done correctly, can seem futuristic, but also seem very, familiar.
Okay.
So I think a really great example of future done well is Spielberg's Minority Report.
Okay.
That's a film that he went to MIT.
Yeah.
And said, right, don't tell me what it might be. Tell me what it will be.
Yeah.
And that's why that film, even though it's still supposed to take place like 20, 30 years into the future, it feels like it could be tomorrow,
mm-hmm.
you know, or it feels like it could be 30 years into the future. It has that great balance, which is, I think, technology and future and balance in Disney has always been an issue.
Yeah.
I would love to see a new narrator, just because I like the idea of every decade or so having a new narrator. And the top three names that came up in my noggin were Idris Elba, Lupita Nyong'o, and Neil deGrasse Tyson.
Yeah, I saved Neil for another attraction. But
yeah, I do too. But yeah.
I would love a narrator.
But that might not be bad, to have him as kind of like a
ambassador,
virtual guide.
For, for Future World. Yeah.
That would actually be really cool if Epcot gained, like, a singular voice that kind of guides you through. So, like, Ryan, like you were saying, this could work as, like, I'm going to be the one who then guides you through all of these pavilions. Would you be interested in that?
I think to some extent I would be. I think that there is a place there where, for one, you know, you have these different voices that's recognized as a voice of Adventureland. That is recognized as a voice in Tomorrowland. Why not give Future World its own voice? And even if it wasn't the sole voice you heard in every single attraction. It was at least there, like, I'm handing you off to so and so here, and then you have your next guide. But that the thread that kind of runs through.
And actually, think of it now. I mean, she did the narration on the American version of Life, and she's had a couple of spots, small spots, but spots in Pixar films. Sigourney Weaver as voice B would really be kind of phenomenal. Since, again, it's someone that everyone's familiar with. She's almost like acting, you know, regality at this point.
Mm. And so, she is kind of tied to that science fiction world, like, so heavily when you think of her. And I think that would be great.
Yes.
The only question would be how much you would hear her in Pandora, and then does that create a disconnect?
Oh, that's true. You know, I forgot about that. I don't even know. Do you know if she's involved at all?
I don't know.
That would be interesting. I mean, like, spoilers for anyone who didn't see the movie. Her character is no more.
Right.
So it's not like they wouldn't have to worry about her being in future films, I wouldn't think. Lord knows. Who knows? It's James Cameron. They could just make her into metal or something.
Didn't they say, though, that – I'm sorry. She – the Pandora – the land was going to take place like long after the movies.
Oh, okay. So there is no like, come see Jake Sully.
I think it's like good, far removed
no
from
that. No one cares about Jake
Sully. Also because well, there's supposed to be four of them, and I don't know how much the script's been worked on, but so I think they kind of were like, okay, this is as separate as we can get from that. So I don't know if you'll see her.
We also have to define worked on.
Well, yeah.
Because some stuff. There is a couple of things I would like to see just changed or whatnot, and I'll just give you a quick little listing. I still have trouble seeing that woolly mammoth whole sequence at the beginning. I don't know. I don't think they have stage room to make an animatronic, but
they
did have one back in the day, right?
That's what it was. It was an animatronic.
Okay. Why don't we go back to that? Because, man, there's just something not working with my eyes. Maybe because I'm not adjusting to the dark quickly enough from being outside. But I have a lot of trouble with that. The faceless shepherd of hell that's selling newspapers. That is the strangest thing that they ever did, was just like they Blair Witched that kid. It was like, look in the corner.
Yeah.
And look, the voice that they had before didn't match a child's voice at all. So I guess maybe that kind of, you know, brought that on. But man, that thing is so weird to me.
It's like those little dolls that, you know, like they're in the corner and they look like little children. Those things are
Brian,
creepy.
A thousand of them. Every time they go to the movie theater scene and we see news clips, I get it. They did news clips, but I kind of liked seeing like the Snow White clip. Stupid thing. Trivia though. Ryan, in the movie scene, when you're in the cinema, you pass the cinema on your right hand side and it's a Jesse Owens clip.
Oh,
it wasn't. It used to be Snow White.
Oh,
And then there was like a bunch of TVs and people got to be on the radio on the other side. Yeah. So they got rid of all that. A little bit of trivia. Ryan, don't answer because I have a feeling you'll know it right away. What board game is set up behind the couch of the family watching Neil Armstrong land on take a step on the moon? Brian, you take a shot first.
Monopoly?
No. That's that would be a good question for me to throw at you, though, actually.
Yeah, well, that's why I thought it was Monopoly.
Melissa?
Life.
No.
Ah.
Ryan?
Mousetrap.
Yes, it is.
Ah, that makes sense.
I'm going to admit this fully. I just noticed this the last time we went on it.
What about the album that's in front of the television?
We noticed that. Isn't it a Beatles?
Isn't it a Beatles one?
Yes, it's a Beatles. Yeah.
Okay. Yes. Which Beatles is it, though?
The White Album.
Oh, that's easy to get away with.
Yeah.
Okay. The Matrix code. We can get rid of that. That's probably the single most dated thing in the entire attraction, which is kind of nuts because that's from like the refurb. But man, Matrix code to me screams 1998, unlike anything else. I've always felt that the Earth reveal at the very top is sort of not striking to me. I don't know. When I was a kid, I probably had a big impression on it. So maybe asking someone younger would be a good way to do it. I assume we're supposed to be on the moon due to the landscape that you can sort of see on the left and right. Am I right in assuming that, Ryan?
I would assume that. And there used to be, I can remember in the early, like there was an astronaut, you know, there was like a I don't know what you would call it. Like it was a mechanical suit an astromech suit kind of out there in space with a person in it. So, yeah, we're on the moon. We're supposed to be building that future. Like, that's where we're going to be heading next. So, but yeah, I think there's so much room there to do something spectacular.
Yeah,
and I love that view back. But I do feel like you could put something else that would just tie it all together.
Even if it's just a more impressive look, you know, from there, because it seems like, oh, it's really far away, and it's definitely on a screen, and it just seems like they can do more with that, Melissa.
Yeah, no, like if you were doing maybe not pull the perspective so far back, you know, do like one of those shots where it's like you're under the dome at that point, so you could do a really cool like half Earth kind of, you know, look and really make it like boom right there, you
yeah
know, like,
something more striking,
like an ISS view, like do it like you're in the ISS.
yeah
something like that, because it feels just too far away, which when you're given scale that works very well. You know, I remember there was this phenomenal thing at the Museum of Natural History with Tom Hanks, and it was basically like your passport to the universe, and it showed you how insignificant Earth is, basically. But the way that it was presented, going further back and further back, it really was striking. This is just Earth.
Yeah.
I don't know. It just doesn't work for me. So I would like to see something like that. And as Melissa was saying, I think the finale is really due for something else.
You know what I would love to see with the finale, but I don't know how they would pull this off, is maybe some type of virtual reality type thing where at that point you put on the glass, you know, you put on the virtual reality. Something like that would be cool, because that seems to fit better than the Jetsons cartoon.
Yeah.
I have something for VR, Bri, that I think you might dig, because I 100,000% think that VR
needs to be here somewhere.
It needs to be here somewhere.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I had a hard time not putting VR in stuff, because I was like, oh, this just needs VR and we're fine.
it can be like the overuse of 3D that might become what it is at first. But it's also it's going to be the way things are. The HoloLens idea, you know, the constant updating of VR,
like that would
be going
cool.
to be something.
Sorry to totally jump on that, but if we did something, remember how in like Her, when he was playing the video game, it was like the projection and he was like in it. If you did like a projection type thing like that for the end of Spaceship Earth, like when you looked on the sides, it was like a projection of whatever and like you're in it, like that would be kind of cool. I just feel like it's so much wasted space when you're just on the screen like, I want to travel. Like, I don't know.
Yeah. And then going towards what Ryan is, I want that finale to be something that ties all the other pavilions together. And, you know, again, don't worry about specific technology, because, you know, looking back, how a video call would be really rad wasn't the thing that was going to be lasting for more than 5 years.
Right.
You know, so that had to go away. So a more unifying message to end the attraction with a minor glimpse of new tech. Like, maybe that new tech can be changed out in a sort of easier way, and that will lead you into the interventions area.
Yeah. Well, see, that's the thing, I think, with a lot of this future world stuff. It has to be – you have to do it in a way that the tech that you're trying to show can be changed out as time, you know, as time goes on. You can't immediately date it with whatever you put in there.
Yeah.
I think that's the biggest challenge with all the future world, you know?
Yeah. Okay. I felt the same way.
Anyone else want to have a final word on Spaceship Earth? Ryan?
No, I think I'm good.
Okay, Brian?
I'm good.
Melissa?
No, I'm good.
All right. Ryan, why don't you bring us into interventions? What did you have going on there? Was that something you focused on?
It's always something I focus on, because I can remember that being so vibrant at Communicore, and it was there were big windows, you could see out. Now it's this dark area, and some things are great, some things aren't so great. And I was trying to think of what needed to happen here, and I think it kind of needs to go back to the original pieces of Communicore, which is where whoever the sponsors were in the other pavilions, this was where they had their showcase. This is where they were able to highlight their technologies today. They were able to rotate them out as they saw fit, as it needed to change. And so it gave them another platform besides just the attraction to go through. And I think it needs to go back towards that model, so that it keeps a cohesive feel, at least to the rest of Future World.
I remember that Interventions was the first place I ever saw high-def television. I remember it was Roberto Alomar when he was on the Orioles, and it was just a baseball clip, and my jaw hit the floor. And I haven't had a moment like that in interventions since then, and that was a really, 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 really long time ago.
There are currently three exhibits in intervention. That's it.
And none of them...
No.
Because the color thing is really cool.
No, the color thing was really cool.
The color
by Glinden
thing is really, really cool.
Colortopia. I like that one a lot. But yeah, then the other two are just like meh. And like, because I was looking at all the past stuff on Wiki, like all the different, you know, sponsors and what they had and stuff. And like I remember we did one where we put ourselves in a video game. Like that was really cool.
Yeah.
And yeah, like I had a hard time with interventions because I was like, I know it depends on like sponsors and like what kind of tech you're going to put in there. But I'm like, they're such big buildings. And I feel like, yeah, right now they're so underutilized. I mean, isn't one of them where don't they have the character meet and greets there now? Is that?
Yeah. And two spots over there.
Two of them.
Yeah. Yeah, I think Interventions West is completely...
The air conditioning of the gods.
Yeah. But it's Baymax and Inside Out characters on one side and then like the Fab Five on the other.
Yep.
Well, this is... I mean, I'll give my first thing that I thought. And Brian, you'll obviously piggyback on this one, I'm sure.
No, I will.
Or you or everybody. There should absolutely be a VR experience hub in here. Either bring in Oculus Rift or bring in Valve. They both have tons of money, and they need to get that product in front of people.
Yep.
And I think that putting it in Interventions is a perfect way of doing it. And if you want it to serve your own purpose, present a program where people walk around Shanghai Disney and then even experience a single attraction from a different Disney park. You can rotate it out every couple of months. That would be the very first thing that I almost feel is a no-brainer, and I think it's going to come. I think this is the one thing where you can say, look, you're going to get VR soon, and this is probably where it's going to go because it's almost effortless to throw them in there at this point.
Yeah.
Brian, what were your feelings on that?
No, this is the place I really felt VR had a home would be for Interventions. But what I would also like to see for this is kind of like, I know it's a very obscure movie, but we always talk about it as underappreciated.
Cannibal the Musical.
Well, what? That can never be appreciated enough. Okay. Meet the Robinsons would fit in beautifully here. I think that like to skin it, I guess, like as they're the, like we were saying before with, you kind of have like your ambassadors to these different pavilions, and the Meet the Robinsons would be for this one. And it would be kind of like an inventions lab is basically what it is. And you can still work in sponsors with that, and they can have whatever they have there. But I think that would be a great like theming for that area.
I like that a lot.
I like that idea. Ryan, what's your feelings on VR and its inevitable interaction with the park? Do you think that Interventions is a good place for it? And if you do, how would you like to see it implemented?
I think I like the idea of that attraction. Like, you can sample and even pick, like, okay, you can pick this attraction from this park, you know, have a smorgasbord where you can pick one attraction from each park and just pick the different one you want. But I think this is the no-brainer place to start it and to put it out there and see, one, if it's something that you know, people are going to want to consume in a theme park environment, which we've seen other places they already do. But this would be a good place to test run it, to dry run it, before you move it into something like, say, you know, Soarin', where you do a new Soarin' version with VR, or you move it over to Test Track. You know, any of these kind of ideas, this gives them that test ground to kind of really build from the ground up.
I also think that you could get Adventures by Disney involved in this, because one of the best working demos that people really enjoy who have been testing, you know, this VR stuff, like Brian, me and Melissa, we all listen to Giant Bomb very religiously, and they've been experiencing VR for like a year and a half, so it's very hard to impress them anymore with it, but most people have not done those demo style VRs, and if Adventures by Disney wanted to just put you in a VR environment where you experience a Grand Canyon, or, you know, any of the number of their trips, bring someone to Aulani. Yeah. And they walk through the lobby of Aulani. This can be a sales point not only for Disney, not only for Valve or Oculus Rift, but for multiple outlets. And you can generate a lot of cash, because if you put a VR thing in front of me in a Disney park and you wow me with something Disney related, I'm telling you right now, the odds of me then purchasing that unit Mm-hmm. Whether, you know, at a pre-order station that is set up or with a cast member helping, you're shooting your odds up of me picking up that unit by hundreds of percentage on top of each other. So I think this is going to be a – I think we all agree this is kind of inevitable.
Yeah.
Inevitable?
Yeah, definitely.
Inevitable.
Oh, now my VR experience doesn't sound as cool.
Why? What's your VR experience? Number one, a lot of VR experiences are cool. Because it's still so new for us.
Yeah,
so what
I know. But you guys had like really great themes. Well, first I wanted to go with one where like we had heard about an experience where like they actually strapped a VR headset on you and they had a backpack. And I was like, that's really cool because then you can have like a space where people interact with the space and you could do like a little like, you know, five or six groups in there. But then I was like, well, what about the people who can't get out of their wheelchairs? And I was like, I don't know if that's really going to be a lot of guest friendly kind of thing.
You just... I mean, like, it sounds weird. You can just have them, you know, ushered around.
Yeah, I know. But, you know, I didn't know how that would go. So okay. I kind of backed away from that. I wanted something like that, but I didn't know how it would go in this overall, you know, very accessible, friendly park.
Okay.
So I went with a different option where you would still have a VR experience, but you would be in, you know, still with a group of people, but you'd be all, I guess, you know, sitting down or whatever, and you would experience the world of Ant-Man. You would shrink down to his size and like go on a little mini adventure with him, but it would still be that experience of perspective, you know, with being his size. And then, you know, you could do a lot of fun stuff. You can be in like, you know, movement chairs, like how they have, you know, what are those, like those gaming chairs, you know?
Yeah, they also 4D box,
yeah,
know,
yeah,
stuff, weird stuff. Yeah,
so you could do stuff like that. I was thinking that kind of...
Well, actually, I kind of think your idea is perfect if you were to restrike the fires of Wonders of Life. You know, that because that's very edutainment. You know, exactly like what you just described is a perfect edutainment thing that I think would fit perfectly in Wonders of Life.
Okay. I don't know Wonders of Life. Like, I don't remember that at all.
It was a Body Wars and Cranium Command. So it was like a lot of stuff that had to do with the human body, but you could kind of stretch it out to a little bit of nature, maybe. I don't know, Ryan. Would that be kind of breaking the rules?
Yeah, I think it'd be more like a land kind of a piece there.
Okay.
And I love the idea. And they'd have to find a real tricky way to do it because of the way the contracts are set. They have no rights to any Marvel character in the parks. In Orlando.
Is it any? I just didn't know if it was certain.
Yeah, ones. No, it's because I had the idea a while ago about like putting Ant-Man in. This is before the Star Wars land came in, but where Honey, I Shrunk the Kids playset was, like, yeah, let's make that an Ant-Man land. And yeah, and then I went back and looked, and no, it's pretty much any Marvel character they cannot use.
Okay.
So then why is anyone giving any credence to this Guardians of the Galaxy rumor?
You've got me. Because now they're saying that there's, you know, been different contract negotiations. They've freed up certain characters, but not other ones. And
okay,
until I see it in black and white, yeah. I think it's just people talking.
I'm with you on that one. A couple of other ideas that I think could find its way into here. You know, I loved the Theater of Tomorrow sort of experience, the home theater thing that we did over there.
Yeah.
And that's another way to get people maybe a little more excited about 4K because no one cares right now in the overall, you know, span of things. Just the way people were very confused about the idea of what is HD.
Yeah.
So I think that this is another place where Sony or Panasonic, well, mainly Sony, could really step up and become a sponsor here and make a Theater of Tomorrow and say, hey, look at this and look at this PlayStation.
Yeah.
You know, blah, blah, blah. Even though I mean, you see Xboxes in Disney, so I'm sure Microsoft has some sort of a deal, but this is kind of blue sky thinking anyway. So I think a Theater of Tomorrow would be something. I think a sponsor that I understand the financial situation and it's not the best. But man, NASA really could use a spot in Interventions to re-spark people's imaginations when it goes towards space travel to find out what is the new goal. This is what we want to do. Start getting behind us. And I don't know a single kid who isn't somewhat interested in space travel. And I know just as many adults have that same fascination. I would love to see NASA finally, or remake, I don't know. They've never been associated with the parks, am I correct?
No, they've worked with, like, they worked very closely with, especially Mission Space and prior to that Mission to Mars over in Tomorrowland. They've worked very closely with Disney, but they've, you know, as consultants, but never as an actual sponsor.
I would love to see that happen.
They can't sponsor. They have no money.
Yeah, I know. Well, you know, again, blue sky thinking.
Okay.
You know, or SpaceX or, Elon Musk
or something. Yeah.
Elon Musk has more money than Disney, it seems, sometimes, just in his back pocket because he just happened to have it. That would be a couple. But this can tie into other stuff. If you want to bring in, again, the showcase of technology and help yourself a little bit more, the Technology of Pixar exhibition seems kind of obvious.
Yeah,
it's hard to have your own stuff because you want to get outside sponsors to help that cost. But Disney has also worked like a business of many different arms, so the arm of Pixar money would be feeding the parks a little bit. I think that they could then, you know, show the ever evolving technology that goes into these films, from, you know, Tin Toy all the way up to what we just saw in Finding Dory, and then use that as a platform to introduce the new films. Not that they need much of a platform. But more eyes on your stuff is always a good thing.
Yeah.
So that would just
be something
of mine.
I did a couple other little things,
go ahead,
too. You know, I remember this is kind of like the place where a lot of video game stuff was, like, introduced.
Mm-hmm.
So I figured, and also, like, I had a hard time because I was like, I don't know what sponsors are out there or credible or up and coming or whatever. So I was just like, you know, they do stuff on the cruise ships all the time with, you know, technology and entertainment for the kids. So I was like, well, you could do something where you can have, like, guest design, like, their own little attraction, almost like a Roller Coaster Tycoon type, you know, system. But
they've,
like,
had that before.
So, like, just places where you can go and, like, mess around with stuff and mess around with technology. I had one where you could, like, create your own character. So, like, this is almost like an animation type stuff. You create your own, like, princess or hero and then, like, animate a little sequence with them.
Okay, sort of like what happens on the boat itself at the Animator's Palette?
Kind of, but more, you know, more... like you're making like a 3D character, and then, like, that character gets animated in a little scene.
It's tough just because you got to limit the amount of time a person sits at a station so that your lines don't get crazy. But yeah, in practice, that would be amazing.
Yeah, well, like, they do it in Test Track. You know, you have, like, the countdown. So you do, a countdown on, you know, picking out this part and doing this or whatever. You know, but just, like, places where you could have people involved with the technology and, like, doing stuff, and meanwhile, you know, it's inside, it's air conditioned, it's places to kind of be.
Ryan, did you have any other thoughts towards interventions?
The only other thing I really thought of was, you know, Disneyland years and years ago had the, you know, the Monticello Home of the Future. I'd love to see a Home of the Future kind of a deal where you get the technology from the homes, it can rotate, you know, you can have the walkthrough experience of it, you can see what you can see things in use today that could be in your home in 6 months.
Yeah.
And then you can rotate it regularly, like, okay, this is the next piece and this is the next piece. And it just gives you that complete experience that, okay, this is something exciting I can take home and use.
And Brian, that was something that you were referring to earlier with Spaceship Earth. The idea that you have to make these exhibits, if you're going to say this is future, you have to make these exhibits easily to update. Sort of like how the co-op store can literally just roll out a store and roll in a new one overnight.
Yeah, that's basically what you have to do, because the pace that technology and stuff moves nowadays, you can't tie yourself down to one thing like that, or to one attraction, really. This is the one, to me, place where, like, you can't do that sort of thing. These attractions have to be really fluid, and they have to be able to be updated on a more consistent basis.
Yeah. The spice must flow.
The spice.
Okay, so that's interventions. There's a lot of work to be done there, but there's so much potential, and it's zero right now.
Yeah.
Like, if you were to give a grade, I give interventions currently an F. And interventions should be the thing that I look forward to going to the most every 6 months, every 8 months, something like that, because I'm going to see something new, and I'm going to be, you know, on the edge. Like, I don't care about the big, dumb truck. I want to see a Tesla.
Yeah.
Like, why isn't Tesla involved
in some way?
Like, you know, where, or is it some, and again, there might be some real legal thing where, like, because of Test Track, you can't promote whatever, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, in the overall picture, there's just, there's a lot going on right now technology-wise, and there's nothing going on in interventions. It's mind-numbing.
I mean, you can even do, like, I mean, with all the solar stuff that's going on now. Like you said, SpaceX. It's just – there's a lot they can do.
You got to walk on the sun exhibition. All they do, they just lead you outside.
Yeah.
And they come – they're like, oh, there you go, guys. You just experienced it.
Give them a Segway. Give them a VR set. You'll be fine.
They wouldn't know what the difference was. I actually have something for the living seas, kind of like going down, and then we'll go. I guess counterclockwise through the pavilions. I love the living seas, but the living seas has nothing pulling for me. It really, really doesn't. It hasn't for a long time. I go in there because I like animals, but there's also an argument to be made that the future of that sort of exhibit has a time clock on it.
Yeah.
Due to factors that have been obvious. I was wondering, you've got this cat named James Cameron working with you right now over on did I ruin yours?
Do you
want to go first?
No, go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. So you've got this guy named James Cameron. He's working right now in Animal Kingdom. Rumor has it the dude likes things that happen with water. Just to, you know, it's an outside observation. So I would love to see him just produce, because obviously he's got to direct 17 more Avatar films, evidently. just be the production and be the strength behind a new large format film that explores the depths of the sea. If you want to, and oh my God, this would be terrifying for me because I have a thing about this, but this in a VR experience in a sit-down theater as it happens around you would be kind of amazing.
I hate you right now.
I'm so sorry. just to give you some facts, approximately two-thirds of the sea remains undiscovered, and possibly three-quarters of a million species are still unknown. Now, how's that number gauged? It basically, you take what you know and how much you've explored and apply it towards the remaining amount. That's why that number is so nuts. So I think that there's an absolute it's just sitting there waiting for them to further their relationship with James Cameron, which I don't really see a downside. As long as you can control the man's ego and have him work with somebody that he respects, like a Joe Rohde, where they can find a middle ground. Granted, that took a while with Pandora, but it still happened, evidently. I think that this is where that lies. I'm sorry, Melissa. Why? What did you have?
That's exactly what I wrote down.
Oh, really?
I said I would love to see an experience where you're delving into the depths of the ocean, kind of like the Ghost of the Abyss 3D, you know, VR would be better. But yeah, like going down things that you, because I love watching those types of shows, like when they're on the like Discovery Channel, like seeing all the crazy, you know, animals and stuff. Yeah. So to see all of that around you, I think would be amazing. And yet, even if you did it in VR, like then you can have it like as you're going down, the temperature gets colder.
I would absolutely freak out and throw the headset off my head, but I would immediately pick it back up and be like, okay, let's get through this.
Yeah, they can show you like a blue whale and a giant squid, like, you know, then stuff
and then the Nautilus.
Yeah.
And then it's just the Nautilus ride. Surprise!
We ride back, guys.
that would be my thing on it. Brian, do you have any thoughts towards the living seas? Did that come up in your tinker?
It did, but the Nemo stuff is so new, so I'm like, they're not going to do anything with the Nemo stuff. And otherwise, it's just kind of a boring aquarium.
Yeah, and, I agree.
You know, they would need to. I think your guys is spot on. It's perfect. I mean, I know the Turtle Talk with Crush thing is cool. The kids really enjoy it,
and that's great. I'm not saying you have to get rid of any of it.
Oh,
I think
it should
be added.
Like that's fine. And you know, the Finding Nemo ride is fine too. But yeah, that would be. I mean, that would be fantastic. Something like that.
Ryan, how about you towards the living seas? Are you happy with its current incarnation, or do you think there's room for improvement?
I always think there's room for improvement, but this is one of the two that I relatively left intact and didn't try to do anything sweeping to, just because, you know, like Brian said, the Finding Nemo, Finding Dory stuff is fairly new. You're not going to see much change there. You know, I'd love to find a way to bring back hydrolators, and I think this gives you that opportunity. Like, oh, you take the hydrolator down, and then you're going to be in this experience in this film. Like, why not? Let's go that angle.
Okay, yeah. Oh, like God, it. That would be fun.
So, but I relatively left it alone because I do think it has, an expiration date on it. I do think that it, the Finding Nemo stuff is just, they're not going to do anything with it right now. And as long as they leave my manatees alone, I'll be happy.
Yeah, you know what they could do? They could knock out that restaurant back there.
The coral reef.
Yeah, you know what? That can go bye-bye. They can just make a theater there or just add one on. But again, I always wonder about what's the clock on this place.
They could a dinner show. Just something.
Give the animals, give the fish weapons. Joust.
Give them a harpoon and just let them go.
Yeah, just imagine two dolphins jousting. Oh my! It'd be huge with the overseas crowd.
Do they have dolphins in there? They do, right?
I think so. Yeah. They have dolphins. They need sharks. They have great sharks. White sharks.
Oh no! They've never kept a great white in captivity.
It's because Quint kills them. That's why.
I don't think that's how it works.
Yeah, yes, it is. Let's get over to the land and listen to it. This land. Ryan, was this the other that you are okay? Okay.
This is the one I left alone almost in its entirety. I'm like, nope.
Yeah, I had nothing for this. I kind of think it's fine. I wouldn't mind the video for the Circle of Life being updated. Guys, buy a GoPro, something. Yeah. But outside of that, I'm kind of okay with it. Melissa, you had something?
Yeah, I actually changed the Circle of Life movie.
Okay, yeah.
I took out Lion King because he's pretty predominant in other areas. And while I like that movie, it does need to be updated, especially with after you see Soarin with the digital projectors there. You want some clarity over there. So I said to make it a WALL-E type experience where you are with WALL-E and he's talking about conservation, the whole bit.
Does he have a British accent all of a sudden?
Sure, why not?
Let me tell you about the Earth.
He got really fluent.
Brian?
The only thing I did, the same thing with the movie, but I update the movie, obviously, and use, instead of Lion King, I was thinking Zootopia.
Ooh.
As the characters to use to introduce that movie as, Judy and Nick.
Yeah, I guess they kind of bled that right into the film itself with all the different lands.
Exactly, yeah. So I thought that would go a good way to do that.
All right, that would work pretty well, too. I'll go with either one of those.
I want them to plant pizza trees.
You could try that. You know what? No, because people would honestly then think it was real and so dumb.
Remember in Disney Infinity when you could plant pizza trees?
I do. Well, you can still do that. The game didn't self-detonate. Yeah, they're just not making more of it.
They could put that in Interventions too.
All right.
They could redo the dining area. They could redo the restaurant, and then you could have your pizza trees on one side and your sandwiches on the other.
You just pick them, Slice of Elio's, come off trees.
Not Elio's.
No.
That is
not
the worst.
Elio's.
DiGiorno over Elio's, really.
Yeah, well, yeah,
you're going to pick a frozen pizza.
I guess if there's a gun to my head, yeah, DiGiorno's over Elio's. Let's go on to the pavilion I'm sure no one has any ideas for. Oy. You know what? Ryan, take it away.
Oh, great. All right. Imagination. I don't want to bulldoze it, but can I gut it? Because it needs some work. I don't want to be the person who's always nostalgia is great. Let's do the hydrolators. Let's do this. But you clearly have a following of Dreamfinder and Figment. They've done two series of comic books with Figment that no other attraction has gotten recently. There's a love affair there, even inside the company. I think it's time to close down the Institute and bring back the Dreamfinder in some capacity. I'm not saying recreate the exact attraction, but there's so much considering technology today for artistry, for Pixar, for writers, for anything, social media that wasn't even an idea when the first attraction opened, that you could give the Dreamfinder to work with. Give them a fresh palette and just turn loose a bunch of young Imagineers and tell them to go nuts.
I have a story to pitch you. Do you want to hear it?
I'm ready.
Okay. Dreamfinder and Figment. Now this is Dreamfinder from the comics, because I also think that you should take off from where the comics are. The Dreamfinder is a younger man.
Okay.
Yes.
In the comics, so make it the younger version. So Dreamfinder and Figment. They are tracking the, the imagination source, and they find a huge source of imagination that leads them to the Jim Henson Studios. Hilarity ensues, and they trip through the realm of imagination with Gonzo, and Figment begins. Because I want Gonzo in something heavy. And I think if we're going to do comedy, I want Gonzo.
Yeah.
A young Dreamfinder and then Kermit are then – they're kind of like say, oh, my God, we've got to get these two. Because if they're just left to do whatever they want in the realm of imagination, they're going to like undo creation probably. So they go and try to get them. Sort of like in the Mexico Pavilion ride. How you know, they're always trying to like get Donald.
Get Donald.
Same kind of concept, but it's Dreamfinder and Kermit trying to chase down Figment and Gonzo. And that's where you go, oh, and if they see the spirit of 3D, I made a specific note. If they see the spirit of 3D, they kill him on sight. They also kill the bunny.
Oh, the bunny.
Actually, the bunny dies before you even get on the ride.
No.
Yeah, the bunny's dead.
The bunny. He's in a cage out front.
Yeah. Just the bones. Yes.
I love that bunny.
Really?
From Muppets Christmas Carol, yeah.
Okay, all right. So that would be my – I would want – I really still think there's something wacky and stupid about it, but I love the idea of the Muppets and Figment being thrown into the – especially because of the Imagination Pavilion.
Yeah.
But that would be my pitch. I don't know. What do you think?
I like it. I think that with the Muppets getting their own courtyard now over at the studios, they're probably not going to cross-pollinate it. But that makes perfect sense, is to give – if you're going to give them somebody, give them Gonzo. The only other people you could give them is maybe, you know, some of the like Bing Bong from Inside Out. Mm-hmm. Get, like, turn him loose with Figment and let them go nuts. What do you think?
Melissa?
I was on that track. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, because when you're riding the train of thought in Inside Out and there's the Figment character on it. Perfect.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Yeah, there's a picture of Figment. Yeah.
So there's your ride vehicle. You're on the train of thought. And you're going through Riley's imagination with Bing Bong and Figment. And then, you know, you meet the characters from Inside Out, too. You see, like, memories or whatever. But, like, you're being, like, you know, wacky, fun narrators through it are Figment and Bing Bong.
Do you have to, like, escape at the end and Bing Bong kills himself to save you?
No, but I want, like, a lot of puns like they did in the movie, you know, like... like a stream of consciousness is like the water, and you know.
Yeah, okay. Those are clever puns, though, because there are puns and there are puns.
There's like abstract thought where everything's seen as
like
shapes.
Rapunzels, you know, stuff like that.
No.
What? What else did you have as part of that, actually? Because I wanted to ask Brian as well. I didn't know if you had more.
No, it was basically that. It was. We're turning it into a Bing Bong attraction. I did want to say, though, I really liked when we saw the shorts, the Disney Pixar shorts
that
they have.
Hold on that thought.
Because, yeah, okay.
Yeah, hold on to that thought. No one jump. Wait, did you have something else or no?
Jesus.
Brian!
I actually had the same thought as you, to incorporate the Muppets into, you know, basically gut the Figment ride and incorporate it with the Muppets. Maybe if they wanted to keep the same theme they had from another one, like with in terms of a lab thing, they could. Because they have the Muppets Lab, and they have the Muppets Lab in the, you know, the Hollywood Studios type thing, and they, so this way they don't have to gut the whole thing. If they want to keep that opening thing, they could have done it like that, or like you said, Muppets Studios. But I thought the Muppets were a great pairing to go with Figment.
It would be nice. The only other thing that I really had, Brian, did you have any other ideas for the Imagination Pavilion?
For the no, except for like where they have that, where they have the Pixar shorts right now, they could, you know, maybe make that some type of interactive exhibit type thing with kind of like when you come out of Figment, how they have just those little bare bones things you can do,
right?
You know, expand upon that and put that in that area.
Ryan, beyond Figment, what would you want to do with that Pixar building currently, the shorts building?
I'd probably take it out and let that either become like the What If Labs, let that become like the area where you get to play, and then take that space back into attraction space, or vice versa, just let the theater become part of the attraction space too, like utilize it that way.
Okay, so expanding upon that.
Yeah.
Melissa, what about you?
I actually really liked it. I was going to say before, like, experiencing the shorts like that in that kind of, I guess, what was it, like a 4D type of thing?
Yeah, yeah.
I really liked that. I would love to see all the shorts, you know, just continually every few months. changed around and new experiences, because seeing Get a Horse and then being sprayed with water, or seeing La Luna and having like the entire place light up like you're on the moon, it was really a new way to experience those shorts. So I liked it.
I thought it was really well done. I went very, very big for this. I've talked about this before, so I'll just be very quick. When I think of Imagination, I think of Pixar, I think of their short films. I think their short films, for me, I really, really adore them. And there is a spot somewhere in all these parks for a short film's dark ride, where you are a one-to-one size of a Luxo Jr. as he's bouncing past you and you're going through the letters of the Pixar lettering. And you pass through numerous scenes of their short films. You pass through the snow globe of Knick Knack, over the highways of, for the birds. You go over the plateau of Boundin, and then you're up in the sky. So you see a little scene from Lifted with the house. You go up to the moon. You go to La Luna. And maybe you then kind of come down from the clouds and you're in the waters of Hawaii and you have lava. And you finally have to make your way to a stage where presto, you go through a little presto thing and you are magically transported back to an unloading area. I don't know if this fits over here. I just like the idea of Imagination and Pixar and how it goes through all these different realms of interactivity. Uh-huh. But this ride needs to happen somewhere. And if it could fit here, great. So that would just be something I would love to see, even though it's probably never going to happen. Do you guys want to move on to Test Track, or do you want to stick with Imagination? Did anyone have anything further to say towards the Imagination Pavilion?
Nope.
Good.
No good.
All right. Sorry, Imagination Pavilion. We love you, Eric Idle, but wow.
We love the pavilion so much, we want to see it all change.
Yeah, we want to see everything change. So going around, I mean, we hit Test Track next. I'm fine with this the way that it is. If they want to call it Tron Track, I'm fine with it too.
Yeah, I'm same.
Ryan, you're good, yeah?
Yeah, I'm good.
Melissa's not good? You're shaking your head.
I don't like it.
Okay. What don't you like?
Because they did the whole, like, we're going to let you design your own car, and we're going to change the narrative to, you know, test your car in these different areas, but we're going to keep the same exact track. So, like, some of the stuff that they do now, it doesn't make sense. The narrative for me isn't cohesive anymore. Like, why am I going over German blocks now? I don't know. Why does my car skid? I remember it was the anti-lock brake test. Now I have no idea. And it's I don't know.
Okay,
to me,
because you're saying because your specific car that you designed is reacting the same exact way as everyone else's designed car when you skid out and stuff.
No, not even that. Like, especially with like the anti-lock brakes thing. This always threw me, because in the original it was, this is how it feels when you don't have anti-lock brakes, and this is how it feels when you do. Now, your car just goes really fast and then skids out, and then goes really fast and then like judders to a stop. There's no narrative. So if you don't know that previous ride, you have no idea what your car is doing. It doesn't make sense.
Okay.
It's supposed to be testing, I think...
tracks. It says test track.
No. It's supposed to be testing responsiveness. That's one of their, you know, four criteria now. But it doesn't flow in the narrative for me. So even if there was a little person now who's saying, or a little screen
little
that says,
wow,
you know.
Politically correct, I guess. But yeah.
Were they going to have Peter Dinklage? Is that what you're going
to
ask?
Why does it have to be a little person?
Yeah, could he narrate it, please? And
no,
be like,
because he's narrated other things, a video game, and it didn't work out well for anyone.
I don't remember that.
Can't.
When they have to replace you in
that's
a video
true.
Game, yes.
That's true. So whatever. But yeah, just to have a little bit more, either change the track, do a little something different. If you want to test responsiveness, fine. Then give me a little bit more information that this is what we're doing. This is with and without anti-lock brakes. I would love it if they were like, we want to test responsiveness. This is your car in ice and how does it work? And, you know, they could do the little swervy thing, but then put my car through like sand. How does it go over that? Like, you know, or, you know, the capability thing, you know, that's where the German block things are. It doesn't make any sense. You don't know.
Belgian blocks?
German, Belgian blocks, same thing.
Okay.
Yeah. But it's like, yeah, it's weird because there's no voiceover narrative anymore.
Okay.
So for me, there's just I wish they would have changed the track also to go with the new update. I like the building your car and, you know, testing each section and, you know, each person's score comes up. Like, that's really cool. And obviously you can leave the end with the power, you know, around the thing. That's fine. But the middle parts, I don't know. It just doesn't flow for me.
All right.
That was my little spiel.
All right. Jesus.
It gets me really worked up.
You're passionate about anti-lock brakes. Very passionate.
Look, I might have totaled a couple of cars that didn't have it.
Yeah.
So.
Melissa, not a great driver. not a great driver.
So this attraction is near and dear to my heart, really.
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying.
Yeah. It does also, you know, there was like the big joke was the crash test. And you were going to do the crash test last, so you were driving into a wall and the wall picks up and you were outside.
Yeah.
Now you're just like driving into a wall because you're on cocaine. I don't know.
Like, right? Really, yeah, it doesn't make much sense.
Yeah, no. There's the ride has no narrative at all anymore.
Well, and I'll say this. I'm surprised they actually kept that same track because there were discussions on how long it took them to retrofit the attraction from World of Motion to this to the original test track. That they said, you know, they'll never retrofit a building again. They'll start from scratch, and they kept the building and they kept the track. And I was like, I'm really surprised there wasn't more done to change that piece of it.
I think that's really what it needs. It needs a new track. It needs to not have the at least make it about speed. I mean, I don't know.
I mean, I understand.
Get Cold,
like,
Trickle in there. I have no idea.
I mean, they want to test the four, you know, areas, but I just feel like you could have done so much better.
I agree. I do agree. So
yeah.
All right. Anyone else? No, okay. So test track. Wow. All right. Mission sorry. Space. What do you mean? Sorry. What are you talking about? Mission Space. Brian, start me with your mission on space. What's your? Have you ever gone on this thing?
This was my thing. I can't really speak on Mission Space because I've never gone on it. I'm kind of like a lot. Really claustrophobic. So I have never even attempted it. And I guess it could be changed.
Okay.
I kind of have to sit this one out.
All right. I got you. Ryan, what's your, when you look at Mission Space, do you see something that is effectively using that space or they need a new mission?
I see a theme that is effectively using that space. I think it does need a new mission. You know, you have your two missions now, whether you want to do the intense, you know, and spend the rest of the day sick if you look off your screen, or if you want the, you know, the less intense version where they just kind of, you know, shake you around a little bit. It's hugely important, I think, to the history of Disney, where you have Mission to the Moon, Mission to Mars, and this is building upon that. So that theme, I think, needs to hold. Yeah, bring in SpaceX, bring in NASA, bring in something that's going to show us exactly what it's going to look like and start showing us things. You know, we have Juno just this week taking it out to Jupiter. We have, you know, we have all these things now that we can see and touch, and, you know, we need to build that into the experience a little bit more and make it something that's actually functional to today's science and today's space exploration.
I agree, and I feel like, you know, some people, if you really are claustrophobic, like Brian, like, you've never gone on this.
Right.
I know I've done it once and that was fine for me. So it's like, I don't feel like right now the experience has a lot of re-experience possibilities.
There's no reason to go back and do it again.
Yeah. And I love the building. I love what they did with the outside, with the planets. It's gorgeous.
It's gorgeous. Gorgeous.
Yeah. Yeah. But I feel like, yeah, you don't then want to go into the building or after the queue. It's like, nope, chicken exit, bye.
Well, also, Gary Sinise makes it seem like you will die.
Yeah, like my sister had almost like legit panic attacks because of how many times he was warning you that it's going to be intense. So I feel like we could do away with all that. Let's get the man on space exploration, Neil deGrasse Tyson. He is going to be your narrator through the cosmos, and you're going to go through. No, listen.
Oh, you.
No. No, wait.
Thief.
No.
Thief.
Because I'll do it a little differently.
All right.
We'll do space. We'll do our solar system. So we start at the sun and we work all the way out to Pluto. And we do, you know, the different types of planets. For this one, I did kind of like you could do a 4D type of VR thing where, you know, if you're going by with Venus, you might smell like the sulfur because of the atmosphere. With Saturn, you know, you have the rings flying past you, so you have the wind, things like that.
Is there wind in space?
Well, when things fly past things, yeah.
I'm not sure about that.
It works.
Okay. I think there is, but it just takes... Okay.
Solar winds, yes. No, there definitely are.
You're right. Okay.
Solar
winds are from the sun. Anyway, let's keep going.
But yeah, when they blow past
the Earth... I know, baby. I'm kidding with you.
No, I love this.
All right, so?
So, yeah. For me, it's just you do the whole solar system, and then you kind of zoom out after the solar system. You see other solar systems. You see other galaxies. And then you get transported through a black hole, and you're done with the ride. But it's that type of... you know, experience of going through the entire solar system.
Does Matthew McConaughey find me at the end?
Maybe if you can read Morse code correctly.
Yeah, I would have been stuck in that bookcase forever. All right, so you're going... Okay, now you know that my universe of energy idea is very akin to what you just said.
Yeah.
But I'll get into that when we get into that. I had no idea what to do with this thing. I do think it needs to get changed. I would like to see, as Ryan was saying, NASA included. I am not somebody who thinks that Horizons needs to come back because that ride was so dated that it's great if you enjoyed it when you were younger, but no one who was born recently will care. It just doesn't work in a modern age anymore, and that's the reason why people stopped going on it and why it left also. It just wasn't getting turnstiles at all, and I think the money dried up. Is that right, Ryan? What happened with that whole thing?
GE wants something new. The sponsorship basically ended, and Disney kept it going for a couple of years, and then it just got replaced, but... I like Melissa's idea, and I think you could even go one step further to add in that repeatability factor. Is if it was maybe you only get to go visit one planet, and it's like a choose your own adventure kind of thing at the beginning of when you get in your ride vehicle, you get to pick the planet as a vote in your vehicle, and that's what you get to explore, and then you have to come back and see all the other ones.
I like that, especially if you're doing a VR experience, you could change that all.
Yeah, you can just load up the programs.
Yeah,
you just have different programs loaded up.
Majority rules, or even just not even majority rules.
You could do
sorry.
Star Tours, the same way they do it with Star Wars.
Oh yeah, pick three, or I mean, if it's VR, it's your own individual one. You pick which one you want to do.
Yeah. I guess you could do that as well. You know what? Then I'll just sort of. I'll segue kind of into my idea of universe of energy just because it's so closely tied.
So I just kept it here because of the outside with the space.
No, it absolutely makes sense. Yeah. My idea for universe of energy, because I think that is obviously going to go away. Mm. That was my idea over there, was traveling the cosmos with Neil deGrasse Tyson and Bill Nye. But the way that I would want to do it is it's still the slow moving vehicle. But with the 3D immersive experience, the track would be the same, but slightly changed up. But you would have a dome basically covering you overhead so that the 3D fills all of your visual space. And then as Tyson is kind of describing the map of the universe, Nye is teaching about the energy that's created in that universe and how it affects our tiny blue spot, if it does at all.
That's cool.
But if you just take out the Bill Nye part, you could absolutely put it in there. And I think that would make for a phenomenal space exploration thing, because I think this was a big misfire, this attraction.
Yeah. I mean, just go from, they had to redo one side because of how sick people got. And now it's just like you don't even want to go back.
I did it once, and I have no interest in ever doing it again. But the building is so gorgeous. It's like, it's such a thing. Like, it pulls you in. I want to go.
Yeah.
But then I remember, I know what happens, and I don't want to feel like that right now.
Yeah. Like, there's a reason you don't go to do crazy roller coasters when it's summer outside. And since it's always summer in Florida, you don't want to feel that way.
Yeah. I'm with you 100% on that. Do you guys want to move on to the Wonders of Life Pavilion? If we could do something with that,
yeah, let's do that.
All right, Ryan. Actually, why don't you get started on that one? Where do you? I mean, again, let's just put reality out of this, on the side view mirror, because they've obviously made that building quite valuable to them as the convention center and whatnot of the Food and Wine Fest and Garden and you know, Flower and Garden. So more than likely, that is what that building will be used for the foreseeable future. But let's just imagine that it wasn't, and we could do something else in there. What would you, you know, what would be one of your ideas for that?
You know, I love this idea about the health, the wellness, the workings of the body. I think now more than ever, that's a piece that we definitely need. I don't know. I love the old Adventure Through Inner Space. I love Body Wars, but I don't want Body Wars 2.0. So I don't know how you make that relevant to someone in the same way. You know, how do you make their health and their body, like the inner workings of that, relevant anymore? Besides educational films, besides like the Body Wars experience. But they do. They need something health and wellness related that kind of brings back that component. And they're doing it. You know, when you look at any of the food and wine, Flower and Garden, it's like, oh look, we have healthy options. We have, so health is on the forefront for them, but they haven't found a way to really reinvigorate that pavilion.
Brian,
I thought of maybe keeping the same like core concepts they had before. And you know, they had the Cranium Command. You could basically update it, of course, but you could redo that with Inside Out for the most part. That would work perfectly. You could use Baymax as a character that could help. I don't know what exactly would you do, but he would cover like the medical stuff, the body, the workings of your body and things like that. And then if you want to talk about like healthy living, eating right, you can have something with Ratatouille doing something, because, you know, showing you how you can cook, you know, healthy. The Incredibles teaching you about the importance of exercise, and there's lots of different things. I don't know exactly how, like, what attractions were best with that, but I think that they have characters that could engage people and engage kids in the core concepts of you know, healthy living and your body and stuff. And I think they have characters that can relate to that. And if they can incorporate them all into that pavilion, I think that they could have something.
I love all those ideas. Actually, yeah. I think that you could do a talk time with Crush version of Big Hero with Baymax.
Yeah, that's – yeah, that would be great.
I think that would work very well. Yep. I think that the Ratatouille thing could just be, you know, just old school, you know, animation cartoon. You know, just as an entertainment piece, you know, you sit in the theater and you watch the show, and that's pretty much it. Like, so you're also, you know, being a little mindful of budget, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah.
I think that all could work very, very well. And I agree. I think that they do need something like that, because if no one's noticed, the U.S. sucks at being healthy. Not that eating at Epcot helps, but
you're walking while you do it. It's fine.
Yeah, you're walking. It's good. So I could absolutely get behind all those ideas, especially anything that can bring Big Hero and Ratatouille to the forefront in these parks. But I put down Inside Out. I think that would be a slam dunk for this one in particular. You could do something about emotion. I mean, like, literally just cover emotions. And, you know, you could do a dark ride if you really wanted to about something like that, with all the emotions showing how they work together. Yeah. You know, and help the other. But you could also just do it as a 4D theater experience.
Just like Cranium Command was. It was the different parts of the mind all working together.
But now, Ryan, would that fall for you, where you're like, well, I don't really want like a Body Wars 2.0?
No, I like Cranium Command 2.0, and you go to headquarters, and yeah, that absolutely works flawlessly. I don't want to get in the same simulator that I get into when I go to see Star Tours. Like, it's very clearly the same vehicle. So something that was different with that, like some way to change that up, I'm all for. And there's enough space there. Maybe you do a small dark ride to go through some of this. And I love that idea.
I really like the Baymax idea with the Turtle Time Crush, but having Baymax, and you can ask, you know, you can interact with it. That would be great.
Yeah.
Awesome.
I like the dark ride for Inside Out, and your ride vehicle can be like half of those like memory balls.
Oh, it'd be
balls.
So gorgeous.
Yeah, because you could do like a really nice paint job, like how they did on the Mission Space Mars thing. Mm-hmm. So it would be like all shiny. And
you could also you could put sensors on the seats, so that when people get out of it, the light goes off on the ball. But then when you sit in it, it just softly glows.
Yeah.
And you would see all those lights like softly glowing as you're going through the track.
And the different emotions, like if you're in with joy, it's yellow.
Yeah. It adjusts to the emotion that your cart is currently going through.
And then at the end, it's just a blend of all of them going all around because emotions work together.
Man, actually, I really kind of want to see that now. That would be really something.
My notes for Wonders of Life Pavilion was, let's put something here because I cannot think of anything. You guys, 100%.
All right. That works.
You guys nailed it.
Anyone else have something to add towards the Wonders of Life Pavilion? I kind of like what we came up with, actually.
Yeah, I'm good.
All good? Okay. Good. Well, the last one really going in a circle is Universe of Energy. Now, I already kind of gave my thing. I think this is 100% due for a new experience. I really do like the Tyson Nye combo. They are two folks who have worked together already in the public eye as a team for science, and the Cosmos was a huge hit. Now, again, as we were saying, obviously the idea of just the Cosmos thing fits a lot better in Mission Space. If in a perfect world they were ready to say, look, we tried. Mission Space is not working. I don't know how the turnstile numbers are at that place, but I don't think they're great. And once Frozen is normally open, I think that number will dwindle even more.
Yeah.
People will go other places. And as Epcot expands and gets new updates, I think Mission Space will be the attraction that no one's walking into, because Journey No Imagination is going to be one of the first ones to go. So I would definitely say that's the first one. But Mission Space, I think, will be right behind it. So Universe of Energy, though, Ryan, what do you see over here for possibilities?
First of all, the people that we have in that pavilion right now, even 10 years ago, who would have thought Bill Nye would be the one that we'd want to keep around?
That's a really good point. Yeah, yeah.
Exactly. like 10 years ago, that was not the name that was going to stick there. There's so much to do with this now. I think that for me, this was kind of one of those places where I had Zootopia at one point, because you have them going back in their time and they're the predators and prey, and that lets you keep the dinosaurs relatively intact in the pavilion, because I think they're just such an iconic part of that attraction. But there's so much new energy things that we've discovered to just focus really mostly on solar panel or the energy of our imaginations. It's leaving so much behind. So, maybe we talk less about fossil fuels and solar fuels and more about, you go through a wind tunnel and you feel the wind and you're exploring the actual tangible pieces of what the energy would feel like.
Yeah, I've got to say, I feel like we get into a pattern, and it's very easy to get into this pattern because it's so attractive, because you want to see these things, of having IPs attached to everything.
Yeah.
This would be something that I would love to just sort of be on its own. I do think you could also work the Robinsons into this one, Brian. I think this
is
such a pliable theme in that film. Yes.
The only other thing I thought maybe if you really needed to work something would be Wally would work. You can maybe work Wally into this.
Yeah.
But I the Robinsons was the other one that I thought of for this. Like if you needed to get some type of your own IP in there.
Yeah, but like if you didn't, because I do love when they don't use IPs a lot of times.
Yeah,
if not for those, there would be no original attractions that we love so much now.
Exactly, right? And especially something like this, I actually had the same idea that you had, Neil deGrasse Tyson and Bill Nye working together, because I know that they have in the past. I listen to Neil deGrasse Tyson's podcast, and I know like they have a really good rapport together when they're on together, and those two guys. I don't feel you don't need anything else for that in terms of a thing. The only other thing I was thinking with that is they definitely would need to shorten that, because I think it's about 40 minutes.
Yeah, it's quite long.
Yeah. I think 20 minutes is okay for this sort of experience.
Yeah, I had about 25 minutes. If they could shorten it to about 25 minutes, maybe just they could kind of keep it intact for now if they just updated the videos and.
Changed everything inside.
I'm along with Rando. I kind of like the whole dinosaur part of it. I really kind of do still. We did it when I just went in July because it was in June because it was hot.
Yeah.
It was very hot. So we're like 40 minutes air conditioning. I can sit down. We're doing this. So we did Universe of Energy, and I like the dinosaur section. It was still cool.
Melissa, what about you?
I haven't done this attraction in quite some time, so I don't remember much of it. I kind of went crazy.
And just, what do you got?
I redid it completely. I didn't even stick with really like the energy theme.
okay. Yeah.
Great. Yeah.
What's it about? Rainbows? Like, what do we got?
Whatever. I went with the Guardians of the Galaxy. I'm like, it's a rumor, but let's go with it.
Okay. Yeah. How, I mean, you know what? This is good. How does Guardians of the Galaxy make any sense in Epcot? I actually do want to hear this.
Okay. So the main thing with Guardians of the Galaxy,
God help me,
that I thought would be really cool, and it's really not even necessarily tied to Guardians. I just wasn't sure about like which Marvel characters, you know, were, you know, property of not Disney and stuff. So I was like, you know, I pick Guardians as like the main thing. But the main thing that you're doing is the collector.
Now, just to be clear with anyone's listening, Universal doesn't own any Marvel characters.
The park rights.
They just own the park rights of a couple of characters. Just like Sony doesn't own Spider-Man. They just have the rights, the film rights to that character.
Yeah.
Marvel, Disney owns all of these characters, but unfortunately, characters and right of use get split up like a pie.
Yeah.
And Marvel almost went bankrupt a couple of times, so that pie be divided amongst a number of parties who really don't use them very well. I'm sorry, Melissa, I didn't mean to cut you off. I just want to make that very clear to people who were listening.
Yeah, and I didn't know either. So I went with the collector. I thought this would be like a really cool queue because you would go through his museum and you could see like all this random stuff. I thought the queue would be really great.
Howard the Duck, yeah. Keep going.
100%. You'd see a dark elf in there, you know, animatronic. I thought that would be really cool.
Okay.
But yeah, that's basically the queue, is you're going through the whole collection. And basically the story is somebody, Space Pirates, maybe Yandu's crew or whatever, stole...
Yandu? You mean the highest selling Infinity character?
Yeah,
no?
The best one. Yandu's crew steals something. If you want to make it like a thing tied with energy, whatever, it's an energy source. Fine. But they steal something from the collector and you are going with the Guardians to get it back. And basically, like, you're in the ride vehicle. So it's like, you know, a little simulation. You go through space. So it's kind of like how your idea was, like, you know, the dome and everything's around you, like a 3D experience. But you are flying through space and like chasing these guys and stuff like that. And yeah.
Does Drax call Gamora the Green Whore?
No.
Okay. I'm just curious. I just want to know. You know, I don't know how that – I love the Guardians of the Galaxy. I really – you know I do.
Yeah.
I just don't see – I don't know. I don't know how that – how this works because much like Frozen, doesn't really fit in the Norway Pavilion, but the culture of it fits the look and it's not very intrusive and all that. This is like the whole thing.
Yeah, it doesn't fit. Yeah.
Yeah,
but I don't know. It's tough. Just like,
it's tough.
With it?
Now, if you were able to, you know, again, magic wand stuff, and they're doing this in Disneyland, if Interventions became, you know, Stark Tech,
isn't it?
No. Well, in Disneyland,
yeah,
they have portions of it. But if you were to do that here, then at least there's a little bit of like a tendril that connects.
Well, but I had Ant-Man in there.
Yeah. Okay. True. But it on its own, I think doesn't fit for me.
No, I know.
And this isn't anything against your idea. I like your idea. This is just towards that conversation, which I also don't think is – I think it's a moot conversation because I think it's a pretty dumb rumor.
You
never know. Crazier things have happened. There may be a loophole in those contracts where it's like, no, it wasn't these guys.
That's the thing I didn't know. I figured maybe some of the random, you know, characters might not be.
Because Guardians wasn't its own comic for a little while, and then when Abnett, anyways, comic stuff, when they really with Abnett and whatnot, it kind of took off again, and that's where, like, you know, that spark was kind of refired. So Ryan, what's your feel like? Let's talk. You know, let's get out of the legal mumbo jumbo.
Yeah.
Is there any way that you could justify or make work a Guardian's presence in Epcot?
You know, I feel like it's more suited maybe towards Tomorrowland. Like, Tomorrowland's that future that never was, never will be, always was kind of thing. Future World's always been a little bit more grounded in some respects. So I almost feel like it fits better in a Tomorrowland than a Future World. But with that being said, you know, if we were looking at like a mission space where there is space exploration, there's a tendril there that IP works in that scenario.
Yeah, it's weird. It's
weird for me because for me, Future World hasn't been one cohesive thing. Like looking at it and doing all this now, like it all makes sense. Like, oh, you're going to these different areas and it makes sense. But like
when
you're in the park, it does not feel like this. So like for me, just putting random stuff everywhere, it kind of feels that way now. So
Because I mean, let's look at it. I mean, like we're looking at a map at it right now. We never go into Universe of Energy. There is no Wonders of Life. We never go to Mission Space anymore. Test Track. We go to, but it doesn't really strike me as anything futury.
No, because you have to choose between Test Track and Soarin', and you choose Soarin'.
Yeah, that's a good point, yeah. Living Seas is fine. The land is where I go see. So the land feels like a pavilion.
That's the only one.
Actually, yeah, the land feels like a pavilion. And Imagination is the one that we walk by and we're like, oh, if I could destroy you with thoughts, you know, you would be rubble. And Interventions is a bunch of empty buildings with character meets and really, seriously, the greatest air conditioning known to mankind. Just walking past those doors one of the best feelings. Like if we were to list like the really like your best moments in Walt Disney World that you don't think of at first, walking past a character spot air conditioning is right up there with seeing Mickey Mouse. But this entire area is largely something that we don't participate in.
Yeah, it's so not a cohesive area like it seems like it should be and how we discussed. Yeah,
this area on paper, though, should be my favorite thing in all of Walt Disney World.
Yeah, I feel like they got really like tripped up with lack
way
of sponsors
too far,
and not being able to keep up with like technology with Interventions and stuff. And yeah, it's just like bleh.
So, I mean, Brian, what do you think? Now that we've gone through the whole wheel of it, do you also feel that you're just disconnected to Future World? Or do you still find it something that you walk in and you're like, I get the theme?
No, I don't think there's really a cohesive theme at all. The only one that actually feels like a pavilion to me is the land.
Yeah.
Like you said, that's the only one that actually is like has a bunch of different things that all work together towards the same goal. Otherwise, it's just like one attraction here, one attraction there that deals with something. The Wonders of Life was the only other thing to me that felt like a pavilion because there was different spaces all throughout it. Mm-hmm. And it, you know, it felt cohesive. But I always do Spaceship Earth, Test Track, Soarin', the land, Living with the Land, and
that's about it.
Yeah, that's it. That's about it, right? Yeah,
I wanna have like a sleepover party,
and I always do Figment, even though it's whatever because there's no weight, and I was a huge Figment.
Oh, okay.
Fan as a kid, so I always do that.
The Living with the Land attraction, I always want to like pull up a sleeping bag and sleep on the wooden platforms near the end of it. It just looks so comfortable, and there's so much space. So much space up there. So, Ryan, what's your final thoughts on Future World and number? You know, what's your connection to it now? Do you feel like a disconnect? You know, what's your feelings on it as you look at it as a whole?
You know, I went out and I went to my research library and I pulled out Richard Beard's Walt Disney's Epcot book. When I started thinking about this, I was like, all right, I really want to go back to Walt. I want to go back to what his ideals were. Like, what, you know, what does this feel like? And one of the things that was in there was like, each pavilion approaches its theme by giving us a look at where we are, where we were, where we are now, and what the possibilities for the future are. The emphasis is on possibilities, since Walt Disney had an abiding faith in the ability of people to appreciate imagination and ingenuity and to recognize what was good. And that is missing from Future World as it is now. Like that human nature, this is who we are, this is where we come from, this is the point in the future we're going to, isn't there right now. And so until we can get, you know, they don't have to tell the same story. No, they don't have to be perfect representations of one another. But until they can get back to that point where everything kind of lines up on that mission statement, it's just a jumble of things. And I go, well, all right, let's go do that one today, honey.
Exactly.
Yeah, well said. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's unfortunate, but it's the accurate truth. So, okay, guys, that was our look on that. Let's jump over to the Facebook page. I actually put it towards the group, which you can find if you go on Facebook. And we are at Disney Magic Hour. If you want to join a group, a lot of responses. So I'm going to read them off. Ian Kaufman says, "A Journey into Imagination definitely needs some proper love. The original was one of my favorites as a kid. Figment deserves much better. Just about anything would be an improvement." So pretty much, you know, in with us on that one. Keith says, "Some actual future sponsors like displays on Tesla or Hyperloop, maybe SpaceX." Again, something that we brought up. Ian counted, you know, agreed, saying that would be a great idea. Courtney Van Rens says, "I would like to see them redo the seas because that is a sorry excuse for a quote-unquote aquarium. Disney has the cash to do it, so why not remake a proper high-quality museum?" Now, Keith actually responded to that by saying one word, blackfish, and that would be my response to that as well.
Well, I can see where she's coming from because...
Oh, I absolutely see where she's coming
from. The aquariums, like, a lot of times when you walk in, like, a lot of them look empty. So, like, yeah. I know you can't do, like, you know, whales, like, you know, what blackfish refer to, yeah. but you could do a lot more in terms of, you know... fish and ecosystem, like little fish. So
yeah,
I can kind of see her point because it's true.
Spock needs to get in touch with those whales.
Well, yeah.
So, you know,
she's
Gracie's pregnant.
Baby,
yeah, Gracie's pregnant. Ian says, back again, since it's used for some festivals, they'd probably never lose Wonders of Life Pavilion. True. But it would be fun if they gut it and put in a Tron attraction. If not there, somewhere else, those light cycles look fun. Yes, they do.
Yeah, make test track into
at
that.
Night. Adam Corbett hit off exactly what most of us, all of us said. I would love to see some Meet the Robinsons rep in there somewhere. They could be the family of Future World if you really wanted to. I really do believe that, and I think it would work quite well. Teresa Carlson says, I would like Future World to go back to the educational entertainment concept. Back in the day, you could go to the pavilions and actually learn about energy, the land, sea exploration, etc. Even as a kid, I thought it was cool. Now it's a big mismatch of stuff. Plus, if they demolish Journey to Imagination, I want to be the one to drive the bulldozer in.
So, there's a line there.
Yeah. There's a Corey says, I've been pondering this for a while and still don't know what I want Future World to be. Obviously, VR is something Disney could showcase, maybe in a Star Trek holodeck sort of way. I don't know why not. Take the universe of energy and turn it into a VR attraction. I would like to see a refresh of the ride vehicles and track of Spaceship Earth because it's so bumpy and jerky at times.
That's true.
That is true. I would do a minor adjustment to the ride vehicles of Test Track to turn them into light cycles and change up the scenery to make it more Tron. Because, yeah, you know what? If you're going to go for it, go for it.
It kind of has, like, that gritty look now.
It doesn't kind of. It absolutely does.
So, yeah, just throw those in there.
So keep the customization aspect with the light cycles instead of cars. And ditch Mission Space. It's fun, but why did NASA build a runway on the edge of a cliff? We've all wondered that ourselves. Arthur Mills says they could reopen Cranium Command, themed it to Inside Out. Yep, exactly as we said before. Gina Fiore, not a comment on Epcot, but a very important comment nonetheless. Never touch the Carousel of Progress. I don't care if it's not in that park. I just want to go on record with that statement. I will say again, I think the Carousel of Progress has a home in its future. If Tomorrowland gets a whole redo and they decide that it doesn't go there anymore, which I think would not be a good idea, but if you were to, I think it would be a great exclamation point on the end of a moved one man's dream attraction that would reside on Sunset Avenue.
Boulevard.
Sunset Boulevard, sorry, yeah. In Hollywood Studios or whatever you may call it next. Anthony Fume from I always say your name wrong, mate. Honestly, I would want to replace Mission Space with something families can enjoy. I'm not saying bring back Horizons, but maybe some sort of space pavilion that isn't only a thrill ride that 20% of people can go in, make it a simulator or something, plus a post show. Eric McMahon says, I believe Epcot needs a ton of attention. Disney has to remodel the dinosaur they call Imagination Pavilion. That, obviously, I think we can all agree, is the biggest offender right now. Also, Disney should develop more country pavilions. You know, we did a show on that. Melissa will look it up, and I will get you a show number. We actually did a show where me, Brian, Scott, and Melissa went through and listed off our top five pavilions that we would love to see enter World Showcase. Tom Castellin says, I think Figment needs a comeback. which is amazing because he never kind of left, but he does need a comeback. You know, like I agree with that. How about an Apple Pavilion and a NASA Pavilion? That is Stan Solo. Relationships there seem like an Apple thing would be great. I also unfortunately think that there's an uneducated hatred of Apple for no apparent reason because some people bought the other phone.
They were in Interventions at one point.
Absolutely childish, but there is that. So I'm curious if they would do like some sort of, you know, research into how people would react to a specific Apple Pavilion.
Yeah,
but I don't know. Yeah, it's very popular still. So no matter the people that just voice their complaints about it are very vocal. I think that's the thing.
Yeah. But I think a NASA Pavilion would be amazing.
100%. Reimagining World Showcase was episode 29.
All right, there you go, episode 29. And then Ray Laney says virtual reality or something Tron-like. I really think Tron really belongs in Tomorrowland. I hope that happens eventually. Thank you guys so much for all of the responses. Me and Mel are just going to talk very, very briefly about our experience on Sunday, July 3rd and Monday, July 4th. Saturday, we were in Magic Kingdom for the fireworks that they show over there, which are the same as that they show on July 4th.
Right.
And just really quick, the crowds that everyone said were going to kill us and ruin the day, I don't know, they weren't there. It was busy. It was very busy, but it wasn't unmanageable, uncomfortable busy. It was
a weekend like type level for me. I felt like I still could walk around. It still got crowded by the castle as per any, you know, fireworks show. So that
it felt exactly the same. The fireworks were great.
Yeah.
They're very impressive, you know, front to back. I will say this, though. I've always felt this way. Our country's music, like, quote unquote, if you're just like the traditional, it's kind of boring. Like, I don't know. Like, I hear Irish traditional music and I think it's very interesting. And a lot of others, I've never been like a big choir person. So I thought it was a great show. I thought it was fine. I wasn't blown away by it.
No, and it was weird because they had the fireworks going off behind the castle, but then they also had the same fireworks, minus like the little, you know, rocket spurts that happened near the castle, going on behind Crystal Palace. So it was a little weird, and it wasn't like that 360 thing that they do for like if you've ever been there for Halloween, the Halloween party or the Christmas party, where they do like around the hub like that. They did that occasionally. But what I'm trying to say is, like, it was like you could watch it over the castle or you could watch it behind Crystal Palace. It was a little weird because I felt like I didn't know where to look.
You didn't know where to look, exactly.
Yeah, it was a little weird.
So, but I thought it was good.
Yeah.
But the next night happened and we went and experienced. Now, they just do illuminations at Epcot and then they do a special holiday extravaganza. I don't remember what they call it.
I put it up somewhere when I was sharing out our video. I think it was the Heartbeat of America or something like that.
Not sure. I apologize. Is that right, Ryan? Do you know?
Sounds right.
Okay. That show was insane.
Yeah.
That was really intense. And in that aspect, the music got to me. Yeah. I just think it was implemented better. I
think they picked better music. Also, Epcot's
the Glory Glory Hallelujah part that's going with the fireworks going off.
That's over the song American with the Pavilion. Fireworks, yeah.
That was absolutely incredible.
Yeah.
And I don't know, maybe it's because there's a Voices of Liberty connection in my head and the American Pavilion and whatnot, but it just felt so much better and 4th of July-y being in Epcot. It's just the atmosphere to me was a million times better for that particular holiday. You want to tell me Christmas that I feel better in Magic Kingdom.
Yeah.
But for 4th of July, Epcot was to me the clear winner on which one I thought was more impressive, more immersive, and more emotional.
Yeah.
Like I really, really was impressed by that one.
I think they picked the right song because, yeah, that's the song that if you want to like, you know, give emphasis to the fireworks or vice versa, have the fireworks give emphasis to a song, it's that one. And then, you know, with each boom, it was even more, you know. impactful. So yeah,
yeah.
I liked Epcot a lot better.
And then the finale of fireworks that went off over at Epcot was – it shook the ground.
Yeah.
And if you want to watch a video of that, head on over to the Last Gen Podcast page on Facebook and like that page. And it's in two parts. Basically, the signal wasn't great. So I lose signal when the globe for illumination starts coming out. But then it comes back right when the fireworks start after that song sequence. So you kind of don't miss anything. I thought it was incredibly exciting. And I 100% plan on spending my 4th of July in Epcot next year.
Yeah, I really liked that.
Without doubt. So, and again, crowd, yeah, it was busy. There were more people there than normal. Getting out took a little longer, but it by no means was a deterrent or made the experience any less. I thought it was fine.
We took, you know, we left Epcot with the crowd. Normally we don't do that, but since I had to work the next day, we were like, yeah, we should go home. So I think that's usually what we don't do. We usually stick around, which we probably should have done. It would have taken the same time. But
yeah, I would suggest if you do this, don't go to your car after the fireworks are over. Walk the long way around wherever you are in the pavilion and just enjoy the pavilions. One more walk around, maybe two.
Yeah, because it'll take the same time to get out of the parking lot and get off.
Yeah, so just enjoy the atmosphere of Epcot a little bit more.
Yeah.
Ryan, have you ever experienced the 4th of July fireworks over here?
Probably when I was a kid. Otherwise, it's just been through video. One of these years, I keep saying I'm going to do, you know, a New Year's, a Christmas, and a 4th of July. And even if I don't write anything, just to see it, to say I did it.
Yeah.
That's sort of, yeah, that was
I
our
do
thinking
that for
of
New
it.
Year's.
Yeah, we're going to go there for New Year's. We're going to go to Epcot for New Year's.
Yeah.
I don't know about, well, Magic Kingdom, it's just so much tighter.
Yeah.
Epcot, it's like, can you see the water? You're good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, where Magic Kingdom, it's, you've got to, you don't have to be in a very specific place, but you do because there's a lot of trees around the castle.
Yeah.
And you can get an obstructed view quite quickly without even maybe realizing it.
Not as bad as Hollywood Studios, though.
Not as bad as Hollywood Studios, which is mindless with the fireworks going off to the far right of the stage behind all of the trees while the theater has the projection show going on. I understand it's because of construction and this and that, but man, that is a bad show right now. Because you have to be sitting in just the right spot. You cannot be looking at that theater head on actually experience a fireworks, which is insane to me.
Mm.
So I know that it's a temporary thing while they're doing work behind there. But for the meantime, maybe avoid it. Unless you do the dessert party, because that area has a perfect view.
Yeah.
So if you're willing to put up the pony for that, there you go. Did anyone have anything they want to throw in? Brian?
No, I'm good.
All right, Ryan.
I'm good.
Okay, Melissa has actually one more review. But Ryan, where can everyone find you on the internet and whatnot?
They can find the site at MainStreetGazette.com. They can find Main ST Gazette for Instagram, for Twitter. And if you search Main Street Gazette on Facebook, you'll find us over there too.
Huzzah. Everyone, sign up for those. It's a lot of good stuff. It really is.
Yeah.
You do a phenomenal job, dude. I just want you to know that a lot of everyone that comes to our site and whatnot, you're hugely appreciated. It's really awesome.
And I love the Instagram stuff that you do. What's the thing?
DDCQ.
Yeah.
Yeah. Disney Daily Question or Confession Question thing. Yeah.
Yeah, I like that a
lot.
Yeah,
I like those.
That's fun. Keeps me on my toes.
Melissa, we have a review to read.
Yes, we do. From ABTBAM. ABTBAM? I don't know. But he or she says, best Disney podcast out there.
Uh-huh.
Please tell us.
Ah.
Very nice.
Wow. I forgot that I did that a while ago. Yeah. Well done, sir or madam. Okay, guys, that is our show for this week. And you may be a little confused because maybe last week you remember me saying that this week was going to be Sleeping Beauty. It isn't. It was this show that you just listened to, and next week's going to be Sleeping Beauty. Ha! Pull the fast one on you. So until next week, right now you are listening to Upular. You can find this video and more over at youtube.com/pogo. His music at soundcloud.com/pogomix, and his website is pogomix.net. We are lastgenpodcast.com. Find us on Twitter at Diz Magic Hour Podcast. That is at DIS Magic Hour Pod. Sorry, I said that wrong the first time. If you head on over to Facebook and search for Disney Magic Hour, that is our group. Head over to iTunes, give a 5-star review. Melissa will read your review on the air, she just did. You hop on over to Google Music Play, get into the podcast section and search Disney Magic Hour if you want to go that way on your Android device. Melissa, Instagram.
At Disney Magic Hour Podcast.
The only one that makes perfect sense.
Because I did it.
Yeah, well, let's not get crazy.
Yeah.
And you can find all of our old episodes for download and stream across all your devices over at soundcloud.com/ Disney Magic Hour Podcast. Brian, thank you guys so much for joining us tonight, as you always do. I just want you to know how much I appreciate it. I know that taking a huge chunk of your night is, you know what, it's asking a lot. You guys work, you have a lot of stuff to do, and I just want you both to know how much I really appreciate that you make the time to come on and talk Disney with us, because I just love having you guys on the show.
Oh, well, we love you.
Yeah, we love being here.
Yay. I hope so. Suck if you guys leave. All right, guys. Till next week. Say goodnight, Melissa.
Goodnight, Melissa.
Say goodnight, Brian.
Goodnight, Brian.
Say goodnight, Ryan.
Goodnight, Ryan.
Goodnight, Pete. And say goodnight, Pogo.
That doesn't even rhyme.
Yeah, it does.
Bring it back, on the mic.
Boom, out of those.
Everybody up.
Oh, would you sign off?
Try mic up, on the mic.
Boom, out of those.
Let me in.
That's a rust, a weird. Bring it back, on the mic.
Boom, out of those.
Everybody up.
Oh, would you sign off?
Try mic up, on the mic.
Boom, out of those.
Let me in.
That's a rust, a weird. Bring it back.